Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
National Association of Broadcasters Convention in Las Vegas, Dave and I were so proud to accept the Crystal Award for Community Service on behalf of News Radio 92.3.
We won! We won! We won the Crystal Award! Now, I know if you're not in the industry, you know, you might be like, the what now? But you may recall that back in February, we were telling you the National Association of Broadcasters had picked News Radio as one of the finalist stations, and there's 50 finalist stations in the entire United States. Now, that's out of every station in every market size from New York, L.A., Chicago, Phoenix, Dallas, Philadelphia, D.C., I mean, you know, huge markets, all the way down to us and even past us. And so every station in every market size everywhere in the country is eligible in one category, because a lot of times in radio, awards are based on genre, and also awards are based many times, most commonly based on size of the market, you know, top 10 or top 20, and then maybe 20 to 50 and 50 to 150 or 50 to everybody else or whatever. So Pensacola, you know, we often win awards in, you know, the small market size, which is technically what we are. And this is an award where we're not separated by market size. So we were competing against, if you've been around the country and know radio very much, KFI in Los Angeles, which is a massive legacy news talk station, Cairo in Seattle, KSL in Salt Lake, Boston's WBZ, WTOP in D.C. I mean, these are in the news radio sort of universe. Those are huge stations. But also WSB Atlanta, you know, and then all kinds of stations whose call letters you wouldn't know, but who you might know their branding from their, you know, country or rock or whatever. Anyway, it's for community service. That's the award, is for exceptional community service. And so we knew we were one of the finalists in the top 50. And as you heard Mary, our owner, who absolutely loves to be on the radio, she so hates it. But I, you know, she had said that yesterday they were at Las Vegas and, you know, news radio was one of the 10 winners in the entire country. And, you know, I called her. I said, all right, Mary, I need you to record me some audio. She's like, do I have to? I'm like, yes, you have to. You're the owner. You're the winner. Take a lap. And so she was at the airport, actually. And so she recorded this stuff in kind of like in hushed tones. You know, like she's trying not to disturb anybody. It was just very much a Mary thing to do.
Radio is all about community service and serving the people in our community. And when Dave and I started the station years ago, that was always our goal and our intent.
Absolutely.
So our team at News Radio works so hard every day for our community. And we could not be more happy that we have the best team in Pensacola radio, and probably radio across the world.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Absolutely. No, it's a great honor, really. You know, it's kind of funny because they're like clearing the dishes or something behind her. I don't know. It's some restaurant nearby in the airport, but, you know.
Dave decided when he was a young boy in high school that he wanted to own a radio station. And that is what we worked for so many years.
And, oh, my God, the things they had to do to own a radio station, to get a signal approved by the FCC, and, I mean, not just, like, because his dream was to own a talk radio, a news talker, okay, growing up in New York and, you know, listening to WINS New York, and then, you know, but to get there, they started with the country station, and, of course, getting Cat Country's license was, oh, my God, a saga. Like, I can't even tell you all of the things they had to do, like, to the Supreme Court in order to get the Cat Country signal. But they finally got it, and so now, you know, and then eventually we're able to add News Radio Pensacola, WNRP is our station call letters, and, you know, based in Gulf Breeze, and, of course, serving Pensacola and the entire surrounding area, and winning this award, which is, I mean, amazing. I've been here 10 years. This is our first crystal, I think, while I've been here. This is pretty impressive. Second one overall, first one while I've been here.
We love what we do. We love our community. We love our team. And we are so honored and privileged to be recognized by the National Association of Broadcasters. Once again, bringing national focus to our little slice of the world here in Pensacola.
Absolutely. And of course, Dave was also, it's kind of funny because, you know, they go to these things sometimes and they're working on different schedules because he's on the board of the National Association of Broadcasters. He doesn't get to vote on this. But, you know, he was still at the convention in meetings because protecting radio and making sure that radio is positioned for the future and all of that. And I had him send in a sound clip, too.
Our entire team is excited to have won this national recognition from the National Association of Broadcasters in competition with stations all over America. Of course, we greatly appreciate the support we get from our community, and this gives us the incentive to rise up and do a better job today than yesterday. Thank you, Pensacola.
Absolutely. And so I tell you all of that simply to say this. We would not be able to do this without you, the support, the encouragement, of course, patronage of our advertisers is what makes radio work ultimately. And so without you and without – and I'll tell you just like my personal little slice of this is I remember I interviewed at a station in Birmingham once upon a time. And, you know, I'm a northerner, right? And one of the questions they asked me was – how do you think you'll adapt to working in the South? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'd just be smart and do good work and people like it. And they're like, son, let me explain about the South. And, you know, and they did not hire me. And I thought, well, that's a pretty xenophobic thing to have be true about your. And, you know, when I interviewed here for this job and I said, so, you know, is it going to be a problem that I don't speak like y'all, you know, and Dave and Mary don't speak. I mean, you know, they're from New York. And they said, oh, no, Pensacola is a completely different place. Pensacola is a very cosmopolitan place. We have lots of people from all over the country and all over the world that come here because of the military slice of Pensacola. There's a lot of people that are here from all over the place. It's much more cosmopolitan, universal than, you know, I mean, God bless you. You try to work in Mobile, but here you'll be fine, you know, and I have learned that there's no need to try to be something other than what you've always been, you know, not to put on, you know, fake Southern Andrew or something like that. And y'all have been so welcoming and warm and receptive and supportive and I love the job. I'm so glad and honored that we get to do it. And I appreciate all the support that makes it possible for us to win an award like this. 517 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Supreme Court hearing oral arguments over the participation in January 6th and the question of whether a fairly obscure charge against about 300 of the people is going to be able to be, you know, appropriately applied or not. There's part of the Sarbanes-Oxley law that came in after Enron. Jimmy, are you old enough to remember Enron? Does that name ring any bells for you at all?
I've seen the documentary.
Okay. All right. In history class. Okay. Fair enough. Good enough. But, yeah, there was a law that came into place, and the reason that law was put into place is because you may recall from the documentary, you know, that one of the things the Enron people did was in the end, when it was all falling apart and collapsing, they were shredding everything.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were shredding documents, there was a sort of a new element of the 1512C2 law put into place that basically said you cannot destroy the evidence. You cannot interfere with an official proceeding or destroy the evidence involved in.
That seems like something that would have already been in place.
You would think.
They didn't have it written down.
No, No, not quite so much. So then the question is, well, if interfering with an official proceeding and destroying the evidence, and they're kind of two different parts of the same law, if that's a part of this, would that apply to January 6th, where they were interfering with the congressional duty to certify the election, arguably, and or interfering with the transferring of the actual votes, the documents that would be, you know, certified to Congress. Those are kind of the two different ways in which they're getting at the charges against some of these defendants. 1,350 defendants, 350 have been charged under 1512C2, which part of that law requires intent to with a corrupt mind basically do these bad things. And so only some of the Capitol Hill stormers, whatever you want to call them, protesters, insurrectionists, everybody uses their different word. And I think there are different categories of these people, which is why different ones are catching different charges. So the Supreme Court had to hear the question of whether that law even applies to these people, whether it's appropriate, because it could apply to a lot of other things. Like, for example, what if you conduct a sit-in at a trial or during a legislative session meeting? What if, this is questions that came from Neil Gorsuch, what if somebody pulled a fire alarm before a congressional vote? That seems to be interfering with an official proceeding. What if you had somebody in the Supreme Court that decided to watch the proceedings and then heckle the oral arguments? You know, that would seem to be interfering. You know, if it applies to so many things, then what doesn't it apply to? You start to have, and by the way, the punishment for violating 1512C2 is like 20 years in prison. It's a serious crime, right? It's more than the criminal penalty for, I think, for all the other, there's like this one of the plaintiffs in this case, the six charges that he's got, it would be more than all the other ones combined if this one were able to be applied to him. So one of the questions Brett Kavanaugh asked was, why aren't the other six counts good enough? You know, why do you have to do this? And what Elizabeth Prelogar, who's the Solicitor General for the United States, said is, well, the other counts don't fully reflect the culpability, her words. And the idea was that they wanted to stop the certification of the vote, and we need a bigger punishment than just the other things that we've been trying to bring to bear on this, because it's kind of a unique circumstance in all of history. Nobody's ever done this before. Anyway, so the Supreme Court was very split on this, but seemed skeptical that this law would be able to be applied against, you know, the people who were protesters, and particularly in this case, because the guy was not one of the sort of worst offenders, but he was sort of pushed into the police line by a group of other protesters. You know, it seems like he wasn't one of the leaders of the charge, but he just kind of caught up in it a little bit, and he's catching, you know, that larger federal charge. Anyway, so, you know, they're not going to rule on this, of course, until this summer, but I would not be surprised if this portion of the charges against this one person get thrown out. And if that's true, then you might have the Section 1512 violations get thrown out against the other 300 or so people that they've been brought against, which is, you know, kind of a big deal when you're talking about how people are going to get punished for January 6th. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I would have been in the house and said, oh, baby, this is beautiful. We got a chandelier hanging up here, kids outside playing, it's a beautiful neighborhood. We ain't got nothing to wear. I really love them. This is really nice. Get out. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Good morning. at 5:24 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
House Republicans have presented the articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate. He became the first cabinet official to be impeached over his handling of the U.S.-Mexico border. All 100 senators are expected to be sworn in today for a trial that is not expected to last long. Democrats are expected to vote to either table or dismiss that matter. A Boeing engineer and whistleblower scheduled to testify before a congressional committee today. Sam Salapour says he became alarmed at the production of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and raised some concerns to his superiors about a number of issues, including a gap between parts of the fuselage that were not up to Boeing's specs. And researchers at Virginia Tech are now working on a new portable test that they say could determine whether there's COVID-19 in the air. The project is designed to simplify current air testing methods that are bulky, noisy, and take days to process. The project leader says he's envisioning a process that could determine whether the virus is in the air within 15 minutes.
What is the it's a streaming show with Kate Winslet. I think it's called The Regime. It's a relatively recent one, and we watched like two episodes and then decided it really wasn't for us. But it's kind of this like totalitarian state in modern Europe. And the beginning of it is they get this guy who walks around in front of the chancellor, I think she's called, and he's holding out this oxygen detection wand because she has some kind of, I don't know, there's some issue with mold or something in the palace or whatever anyway. And so he's wandering around in front of her with this wand all the time, waving it around and detecting the, it's the most silly, pointless, stupid thing ever. But that's what it reminds me of is what we're now going to have COVID wands that we're all going to wander around with and, you know, wander around. That's funny. Anyway,
send in the COVID sniffers.
Like, I mean, are we not at this point? Everybody's either, I hate to be callous about it, but everybody's had it or died from it or immune or, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
There's flu running around that's been around for 100 years. In 100 years, they're going to say, well, there's flu and COVID that's been running around for 100 or 200 years. You know, okay, all right. I didn't know we were still really. And people still die from it. Lots of people still die from it. Of course, people die from the flu, too. You know, I mean, I don't mean that they're the same. I just mean the world has gone through the pandemic, and now we're, you know, on to worser and bigger things, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Somebody texts in and says, I'm curious, at 437-1620, by the way. Somebody says, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on Clarence Thomas not recusing himself on the January 6th arguments when his wife clearly supported and involved in the insurrection, given her texts and messages. Ginny Thomas. Yeah, I just don't think that you hold spouses accountable for what spouses do. To me, that's an easy bright line. Unless you have evidence that, you know, somehow he has been compromised. Because it goes both ways, right? You don't hold the wife accountable for what the husband says or does. You don't hold the husband accountable for what the wife says or does. Mostly because we treat people as individuals. Although, you know, metaphysically, not to use the big words, but I think you can make the argument that, you know, what we say at a marriage is, you know, two become one. And so there's a sense in which a man and husband, or a man and wife are, husband and wife are one. But they're obviously not one in any, like, physical, tangible sense, other than when they, of course, become together to make kids. But there is a sense in which they've been made into one, but not in a sense that's legally culpable. We actually still have vestiges of that. Like, you know, husbands can't be compelled to testify against their wives and vice versa, you know, that kind of stuff. There's still legal recognition of that. But no, I just basically think that, you know, if a wife does things, you'd have to prove that that somehow influenced the husband and or vice versa in order for somebody to have to recuse themselves. 437-1624. Have you seen this video of these nitwits damaging the rock formations at Lake Mead? Oh my God. There's this national, it's not quite a national forest exactly, but it's like a national recreational preserve. And it's, think red rocks, but just like that kind of a formation where you've got giant rocks on top of each other. And, you know, to some degree, you know, sometimes you can climb, sometimes you can't climb. And these guys are up there like pushing the rocks off of the edge and destroying them. Like structures that are as old as anything can be, and they're just decided that, you know, fun times for us is we're going to destroy this stuff. And so the Park Service had put out a video of them and saying, hey, you know who these guys are? Because, you know, this is like federal law they're violating. Every once in a while, you come up against somebody doing something that is, you know, there might be a criminal charge attached to it. And sometimes not. But in this case, there is. And the problem is it feels like whatever criminal charge they're going to get is so much less than the affront against civilization that they're engaged in. You know, the what they're doing is such a violation of basic human decency to protect, you know, animals or nature or beauty or, you know, obviously to harm other people. But it's something about it that says, you know, we are trying to conduct a civilization over here. What the hell are you doing?
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Senators will be sworn in as jurors today in the impeachment trial of DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer could move to dismiss the trial shortly afterwards. Former President Donald Trump's New York hush money trial going to resume tomorrow with 7 of 18 jurors selected. Late yesterday, he visited a Harlem bodega and talked about the case.
The trial is moving along. We have a judge who's absolutely out of place. He should not be allowed to do it. He's conflicted like nobody's ever been conflicted.
Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg filed a motion to hold former President Trump in contempt, claiming he violated his gag order by posting to social media about witnesses Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. The White House is announcing new sanctions on Iran, targeting its missile and drone program, as well as new sanctions against entities. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we do have partly cloudy skies at 68 degrees in Pensacola. The next commander of the Blue Angels has been announced, Commander Adam Gilligan Bryan.
Over the past, I would say, you know, 3 to 4 months of kind of intensive study of, you know, what this team does every day and the lives they touch, it started to dawn on me. It isn't just watching the practices here like I saw. It is so many other people. And the amount of those people that you see, you know, people think of the Navy. They think of the Blue Angels.
Bryant was selected out of 5 finalists. He'll take over now as the number one Super Hornet for the 2025-2026 show seasons. Bryant's already spent 19 years in the Navy. He was unveiled during a private ceremony yesterday at the National Naval Aviation Museum. School resource officers and Gulf Breeze are being outfitted with ballistic shields. They were donated to the Gulf Breeze Police Department by Bob Tyler Toyota.
These bulletproof shields, one in each of the schools, just helps for their safety if they have to respond to anything that we don't want really to happen. They're going to be the first ones on scene, the first one going toward the threat. And having that shield will just, you know, give them a little reassurance of a little more safety.
That is Police Chief Rick Hawthorne. He talked with Channel 3. The shields will be kept on site at Gulf Breeze Elementary, Middle, and High Schools. And as you heard just a little bit ago, News Radio 92.3 picking up a big-time award this week. The National Association of Broadcasters announcing that News Radio had won the 2024 Crystal Award for Year-Round Excellence in community service.
Our entire team is excited to have won this national recognition from the National Association of Broadcasters in competition with stations all over America. Of course, we greatly appreciate the support we get from the Pensacola community, and this gives us the incentive to rise up and do a better job today than yesterday. Thank you, Pensacola.
Reaction from station owner Dave Hoxing. 50 radio stations were named finalists. 10 winners were chosen by a panel of judges representing the broadcast industry, community service groups, and public relations firms. This is News Radio's second Crystal Award. Well, there's going to be a cost to the city of Pensacola in making credit monitoring available to all residents. That'll be about $82,000. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the good news is that in the aftermath of the 2019 ransomware attack, the city purchased an insurance policy and that helped pay for it. Letters with credit monitoring information are being sent out to city residents' mailboxes soon.
It's also a significant expense to finding a very refined exact group. So that's part of our decision-making process here, too, is to say, well, it might just be easier to just notify everybody than to spend a lot of time and weeks of energy to get down to a smaller group.
The service being made available through TransUnion. Reeves says the criminal investigation following last month's cyber attack is still ongoing. 534 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
We are going to have a cloudy day today. Temperatures will be nice and warm, warming up near 80 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66. The cloudy forecast continues for that Thursday with a high near 80 degrees. Temperatures dropping back into the mid to upper 60s. As we go into Friday, we are going to have some sunshine peeking through for the afternoon. High near 82. Friday night temperatures dropping near 65. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 68 in Pensacola right now. 68 also in Gulf Breeze and 63 in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Biden administration has called upon 15 states to help enforce consumer protection laws covering airline travelers. Officials will be able to investigate complaints about airline service, and if they believe violations occurred or an airline is refusing to cooperate with investigators, the states could refer cases to the Transportation Department for enforcement. In return, states will have access to the complaint system to train federal employees on best practices. States participating include California, Pennsylvania, New York, and more. BYD is rapidly expanding its lineup to compete with automakers in the mass market, including Tesla and Jeep. The Chinese electric car company has unveiled three new vehicles: an off-road Leopard 8 SUV, a Super 3 SUV geared towards city driving, and a Super 9 sports car. The company did not announce prices, but hinted further details would be released at the auto show in Beijing next week. Futures are slightly higher.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:30. 8:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday, as we typically do on a Tuesday, had a chance to talk with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons about a variety of matters. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Why I noticed you give me that big laugh.
Because
big
you did a pretty good job. You got all your stuff taken care of, 92.3, 1620. You keep this up, you'll be
channels.
Employee of the month.
Yeah. Not me.
Well, if you kind of
keep
quiet.
That's a whole different question, yeah. Okay, so pretty serious subject. We had a 16-year-old shot who, I believe, passed away, and then you guys have arrested a 19-year-old in connection with. Is that right?
Yeah, how tragic is this? We get a call that an individual had been shot, and we get up there, and we're not sure because they're screaming and yelling, and it appears like it was a disturbance initially. Come to find out, there was a 19-year-old, we determined that Ethan O'Brien, who's 19 years old, he was showing off a firearm to a crowd of kids or another group of kids, apparently acquaintances of his. I don't know how close they are, but acquaintances at least. And the gun goes off, and it strikes the 16-year-old in the chest, and he was deceased at the scene. The 19-year-old doesn't decide to help. He takes off and flees, and then he turned himself in yesterday. So he's been charged with manslaughter through negligence. Mm-hmm. You know, manslaughter covers a number of different things, and in this particular case, we determined it was negligent to do what he did, and charged him accordingly.
Yeah, and as you say, negligence is where, you know, the harm was not intended, wasn't premeditated, wasn't born out of malice, but was born out of a failure to properly take care of the safety of other people or yourself when you should have, right?
Yeah, again, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's through negligence, and you know, it's just so tragic. I've noticed a lot of comments about it that, you know, two lives were lost, and
yeah.
Obviously, my thoughts and prayers go out to the victim and the victim's family.
Yeah.
And then this particular individual has to deal with this for the rest of his life as well. And, you know, I hate to say it's a cautionary tale, but it's something that we talk about all the time, that you have a responsibility if you own or possess a firearm.
Yeah.
And everyone should know by now never to point a weapon, whether you think it's loaded or not, whether you intend to pull the trigger or not, at an individual. It's just, it's a dangerous thing to happen.
And you and I have even talked about this, that, you know, like your concealed carry weapon, right, is, I mean, typically that's a gun that's ready to pull the trigger shoot, right? That's the way it is. Because if it's a situation where you need your gun, you're usually going to need it real fast, and you're not going to have time to sit there, take it out, then chamber around, and then, you know, but that means that gun is ready to go.
Right.
And ordinary citizens, right? So, okay, if you take your concealed carry weapon off of your person and lay it on a counter or on a table or in your dresser or something like that, how do you point it? Well, away, you know, or in a safe direction. Just like those are the kind of habits that good gun safety takes into account, because you're always thinking this can kill somebody, and that's why you don't do things like clean it when it's loaded, fail to check it before you hand it to another person, all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, and I'll give you an example. When we do our range training, we all go into a room and then we clean our weapons. Mm-hmm. And even in that scenario, when the weapon is partially disassembled,
right,
and we still do not point those weapons, it becomes a habit. And I've not been in the military, but I understand the military does the same thing. You do not point weapons at somebody unless you intend to shoot at them or shoot them.
Well, we're kind of off the criminal side of it now, but just human behavior is a lot made up of habit. Habit of things that make you uncomfortable or things that make you comfortable. For me, the idea of throwing trash on the ground makes me very uncomfortable even to think about. Like, it's unthinkable to me. As unthinkable as, you know, just handing a gun around and waving it in front of other people, even when I know, like, if I know it's not loaded, even disassembled, it just makes me uncomfortable to think about, because I've cultivated that habit, which is, of course, not with these.
Well, and that's what I do with my boys. I tell them, do not never point this gun, even really toy guns.
Even toy guns.
You know, don't get in the habit of doing that. Now, when you're playing airsoft guns, obviously that's going to.
But same thing, even there, don't do it.
Before the actual event, it becomes a habit, and you should just reiterate that to whoever, might have an opportunity to have a gun.
As well, and somebody texts in, as well as the habit of don't show off the gun. These are all, everything
oh,
about
this is bad. Oh, that's self-explanatory, right? Yeah, no, I would agree 100%.
But all of this, it's all bad behavior and tragic, of course, in this case. We also had a case of a sort of a road rage-related shooting, not at a person, but guy shot into an empty car. What happened here?
Well, that was what it started out to be, a disagreement over who's following who too closely or something like that. And then One car pulls into a, I think it's Rocky's Food Mart parking lot. They exchange words, and then the victim, the owner of obviously the victim car, goes inside the mart, and then this guy pulls out a gun and he fires out, shoots the window out of the car, and then he drives off. And then, so we end up finding him. We got a pretty good description of the gentleman. You can see a picture on our Facebook page.
Not the most blend in kind of individual.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good idea. We had the right person when we saw the, you know, had a description. Obviously, we knew the car, tag number. Right. We knew where he was going, and we ended up picking him up. And you can see a picture. He's a little happier than I think he should be for going to jail for these serious charges.
This is the guy sitting in the back of the car with the red beard and the flaming red hair. And yeah, he's a little overweight. You know, it's pretty easy to identify this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct.
You know, So this is, in my mind, this is like when somebody gets angry at you and they take a crowbar to your window, or they, you know, take a knife to your tire. That's like comparable level, except that it was a firearm. Is that kind of?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. So it's a vandalism / threat / mishandling of a gun, negligence, all of those things.
Road rage. That's what's going on here. Yeah. Bottom line is you can do that. You shouldn't do that. And you can be charged for that, obviously.
Which he was. So. He was. Okay. The only good news, nobody was hurt. So, I mean, which that's always better news. We've had a couple of bills get signed. I talked about this a little bit yesterday with Sheriff Johnson, but I always like to get everybody's perspective if I can. The 25-foot keep your distance bill, right. Which my initial reaction to that was, it seems like a ways. But then again, I understand. I assume you favor this bill. I mean, 25 feet is, what, two lanes of the road. So if somebody's over on the median and you're on the sidewalk, you're at your distance, right?
Yeah. No, I'm in favor. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we had an incident at Boys and Girls Club where we had our deputy doing his job, and he was attacked from behind. And, you know, if you're inclined to attack somebody, you may not care about the 25-foot distance, but at least it gives law enforcement room. And you've seen these videos where when sometimes we have to wrestle people, and it's not always pretty. You know, it's a slinging back and forth. It's a swinging back some to the ground.
Yeah.
And it takes a little bit of a distance, and it's, I think it's helpful. I don't know that you need to be within that distance to videotape some, you know, cops if you think they're doing wrong.
Especially with modern cameras, you can zoom in very far. Yeah.
There's no reason for you to be right there breathing down the neck of the law enforcement officer. So I would agree with it. Just keep your distance. No one's saying you can't watch. No one's saying you can't pull out a phone or anything like that and record whatever you feel like you need to record. But it does, I do believe it gives a level of comfort and safety to the deputies or law enforcement officers that are trying to do the job.
And the way I kind of talked myself into thinking this was probably a good thing is I thought, okay, so if you make the distance 10 feet, okay, and then somebody decides to become a bad actor, when does the cop know that they're in danger?
Right.
You don't have any time. But 25 feet, if somebody decides to interfere, you've got some buffer at that point and some time to react, which is, I don't want the cop who's involved in an incident having to think all the time about what's going on around me. I want him focusing on winning that fight.
Yeah, well, a lot of times they are.
Or treating the patient or whatever,
right.
You know.
A lot of times, you know, the officer does have to look around. You have to be aware of your surroundings. And you understand you're in sometimes a hostile environment. And you have to look around and say, get back. I do think 25 gives you that little extra spatial awareness so that you can look back quickly and say, hey, get back a little bit or get back some. Or just get back, period, because a lot of times you don't have time to be too specific. You're busy trying to do the job.
And
you know the guy you're grabbing hold of is trying to get away. He could be a danger to you. He could be fighting. He could be grabbing for a weapon. He could be doing anything. And then you got, you know, some other people to deal with. I think we should understand many times these are deputies or law enforcement officers that are doing the job typically by themselves, you know, like as was in the
initial
the
response,
boys and girls
one person, yeah.
We had, yeah. So, you know, I think we should give them credit and give them all the room and the tools they need to do the job.
And, you know, the other thing is some people might wonder, well, does that mean that if, you know, like if the deputy tells me to come help or if he's losing the fight, which, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, it's okay for you to help them win the fight. You know,
how many times we talk about reasonableness?
Right. You know, be a good citizen. But if they tell you to come help, it's only if they warn you to stay away. So if they need your help, help them. I mean, right. by goodness, they're protecting your rights that you would be empowered to do on your own. They're just doing it in a more official capacity. So, right. You know, be of help, be of service, be of use to the cops. I did want to talk about this. I know this is something that's very important to law enforcement. It is National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. And I will say it's not to be, you know, joking because it's such an important job. But we used to say dispatcher,
right?
You know, and for an entity with full of employees and workers and professionals who their whole goal is to have efficient, fast communication. Public safety telecommunicator is not the most efficient. Dispatcher is a pretty clear word, but I know it's broader than that. And this is such an important job.
Oh, if there's ever been an underappreciated job, then it's the,
amen.
And I still call them dispatch. It's the job of the dispatch. It's the job of the telecommunicator. I know that having been out in the field, a lot of times we just talked about going to do a job by yourself. You're the first unit to get there, or the first unit, the first officer to get there. And then the only person that you have, the only lifeline you have is that dispatcher, mm-hmm. is that communication you have. And many times it amazes me how they can function. They can answer the phone. They can monitor a radio channel. They can switch channels. They can plug in calls. They can do so many things at one time. And, oh, they can also know by the tone of your voice that they need to get another unit there, or they need to get, I call it unit, but, you know,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Another deputy there, a law enforcement officer there.
What's the distinction?
Is there? It's none. It just depends on what vernacular you used to use.
I just
back
didn't know
in the
if
day.
Unit meant it was two people or something. So the
no,
way
it, it's kind of funny because it was at the police department's unit, whatever your number is,
got
and
it.
At the sheriff's office it's car.
Okay.
You know, it's unit 100 or car 100. It's all the same. It depends on how it started. Office they used to put your numbers out based on the car that you were driving. And I know at the police department, at least, we had it where it was just the individual officer themselves. So when I say unit, I mean deputy. I mean law enforcement officer.
Gotcha.
And you know, just so we're clear on that. But yeah, I can't thank enough the job of the telecommunicators. And this week we take time to just sit back and think about that because oftentimes because you don't see them because they're not
right.
in the forefront. That people don't understand the value that they bring to law enforcement or to fire or to EMS, because they're the ones that typically people talk to first. They're the ones that calm people down. They're the ones that have to get the information. They're the ones that, quite frankly, can save lives at times by giving advice. And they're the ones who can determine which officer goes to which call, which, you know, if you need a backup, if you want the channel on what we call emergency traffic, they'll do that stuff. And it's a sense that they get. It comes from experience, but it also comes from just an ability to understand the job and understand what's going on at any given moment.
It really takes a special person, and lives are in the balance every time you go to work. And even when it's a situation that's not like lives in the balance, it's psychological comfort for, I mean, you know, they're a counselor, they're a logistician, they are an assessor of the situation. They act as a kind of like, you know, the shift superintendent, the captain or whatever to assign resources. I mean, they do all of that. And as you say, under stress, staying calm, being effective. I mean, you know, it's an incredible job.
It gets, if I can take one more moment, it
yeah,
gets
of course.
Better than that. At Pensacola NAS during the shooting, they were getting the phone calls from people that were in a room and not sure they can hear the gunshots and they're not sure if they're going to survive. And the dispatcher's not certain if they're the last person they're going to talk to. During a Hurricane Ivan, I recall we did a lot of, we put a lot of videos out and some audios out with some people that were trapped in their homes. And the dispatcher had to tell them, we can't get to you. The conditions are so bad, we cannot get to you. And again, you're talking to an individual that believes they're going to die. They believe that their life is ending, and that's a difficult thing to, you know, to deal with. Those are difficult conversations to have, and you also have the calls where a traffic accident has taken place, and you know, and someone you know could be along their last couple minutes,
yeah.
and it's a very stressful. It's difficult, and there's also a level of, you know, it's heightened by the fact that you talk to people in what could be their worst moment, and it could be their last moment.
And I assume we have to cut it off here, but I assume the counseling that's available for your officers is also available for the telecommunicators.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Because I can, of course, they would need it.
Yeah.
Hey, one quick note too is a free event coming up this Saturday at Five Flags Speedway, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. Your big event that's going to be this Saturday. Is that right?
That's correct. Five Flags Speedway, 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And insurance is free. Obviously, we're at the parking lot right next to the Five Flag Speedway. They'll be selling crawfish obviously, and hamburgers, hot dogs, and that sort of thing. There'll be games for children to play. There's a car show over there. Cat Country will be there. It is just, it's going to be another, it's our second annual one. The weather looks like it's going to be great, and we're gearing up for a great event. So come on up there. Again, it's free to get in. You can see, sheriff's personnel, canines, horses, all of our vehicles be up there. You can go walking around and climbing upon those, the ones that can be climbed upon.
You had
and,
me.
And then there's a movie too. There's a big movie screen. We're gonna show the movie Cars.
Oh, nice.
Obviously,
that makes
next
sense.
To
yeah,
next
sure.
to the okay, Flag Speedway. So it was a good event last year, and we look to continue to make it even better. It's the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation signature event, and again, the proceeds all go towards benefit of the sheriff's office engagement and wellness of the deputies.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time and thanks for doing what you do. I appreciate it.
You bet. You take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about getting that next vehicle or putting it off, frankly, because I know that's how I do. I always put it off too long and then I always regret not getting it. And I get a new one. I'm like, yeah, why did I wait so long? Okay. Because you know what happens when you're putting off getting that car is what usually makes you change is because you're putting too much money into the old one. And you could be putting that money into one that's much newer, much more enjoyable, and maybe even saving money in the process. I mean, maybe not always, but it sometimes is the case. That's why you go to Frontier Motors. They specialize in good quality, almost new cars, 1, 2, 3 years young, low miles, great condition, cars that you can count on, drive for many, many years. Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend it for this basic reason. That's what they specialize in. I know we went to just look at a car to test drive it, and the price was so good, and they worked with us on the price even so, and we bought a car. I mean, it was like the easiest car I have ever bought, and like a fantastic deal we got on a one-year-old vehicle with about 12,000 miles on it, our Honda Odyssey. So if you're thinking about it or you've been avoiding thinking about it, go to Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, my glasses! I can't see without them. They should be around here somewhere.
Weren't for those meddling kids. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Boeing engineer and whistleblower scheduled to testify before a congressional committee today. Sam Salapour says he became alarmed when the production of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. He says he raised concerns to his superiors about a number of issues, so we'll see what he has to say today.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Longtime Cardinal managing great Whitey Herzog has passed away at the age of 92. Winner of one World Series, took the Cardinals to two other World Series. Whitey Ball in the 80s, AstroTurf, fast teams, and stealing bases. Also, Bob Graham, former governor and senator from the great state of Florida, has passed away yesterday as well.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.